Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and hello. Welcome to Commanding Your Life. This is your host, Beverly Fells Jones. I am an author, speaker, and seminar leader for the Silver Method and other techniques. On this show, I talk about how to expand your world of thought, exploring the world of positive thinking, Bible-based law of attraction, and consciousness from many points of view. I intend to share with you information that will enlighten and empower you in your life. I am here to encourage you to think in the positive and show that miracles can happen. I truly believe you have been given the power of the word and thought to create the life that you desire. When we're live on air, give us a call at 347-838-8437. That's 347-838-8437. And when I'm not, just send me an email at beverly@commandingyourlife.com. So let's get started with our program. I am truly blessed to be able to come to you with this information. And it is always, always wonderful being here and talking with you. And today I am excited with our guest. I truly am. You're going to meet a very awesome person. But, you know, today, again, I guess some of you get tired of me talking about the sunshine in Texas. It's a wonderful day, but I think everybody just about across the United States, anyway, in the East Coast, and so had a warm weekend. It was in the 70s here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and the sun was shining, so hopefully you were one of those that got the opportunity to have the sunshine and get outside and enjoy yourself and soak some of that up. I want to say thank you to all of my on-air family for listening. I just wanted to tell you that this past weekend I was awarded the Internet Radio Star Award as the Podcaster of the Year. And again, this was fantastic. It's just a wonderful thing to know that what you do is appreciated. So let me tell you, this has been a good week. Hopefully last week was a good week for you. And as always, we're going to start out with a short meditation. So if you're driving while you're listening to this, don't close your eyes, and if you have the ability, just pull over to the side of the road. If you're operating machinery, also please stop or just wait and listen to this recording at a time when you can. So just take a deep breath in and out. Take another deep breath. There's a power and presence in the universe that always has been and always will be. That power and presence created everything out of itself, and everything contains it, including you and I. We call this power and presence God, Jehovah, the creator of all that is, and we are grateful. We are grateful for the abilities that we have been given with being able to think and to create and to tap into the knowledge that this power and presence has made available to us. This week, it is our intention to make this the best week so far in 2016. It is our intention to do one thing out of the ordinary, one thing a little better than we did last week, one thing that moves the Tao forward and makes us a better person. This week, it is our intention for you, those of you who are listening, to pick up one item to read that you've been intending to read for a long time, and just take the time out of your day or out of your week to just relax. Just relax and look at the world around you. Relax and be grateful for the life that you currently have and that you will bring into you. Relax and say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Take another deep breath in and out. Thank you. Thank you. It is done. It is so. All right. Wow. Another great week coming. And now let me introduce you to my awesome guest, Lena Holloway. Now, Lena has recently published her book, and that book called I Know This of Myself. And the title itself just says, oh, this has got to be an adventure of learning about who you are. But we're going to let her tell you about this book. And with the assistance of Lisa Strepp, she got this book written. She started writing poems and short stories at a young age and always dreamed of someday writing a novel, and now she has. She is a graduate of Baylor University, and she has a Bachelor's of Arts degree in History and Political Science. I'm going to have to ask her about that one. Okay, and she lives in Houston with her husband and her beloved animals. Her book is available on Amazon. So if you go to my website, planningyourlife.com, and look at her guest blog, My Personal Journey with Coffee, you can find the link to purchase her book. Or if you're on Blog Talk Radio and you see this particular episode, the link is there also. But it's available in all the major outlets. So if you're not an Amazon person and you go to Barnes & Noble or you do go into the store, just ask for that. So, hello, Lena.
Hi, Beverly. How are you?
I am fantastic. So, tell me, what made you write poetry at a young age?
I think that it was just what came naturally as a way to express myself. I've always been a little bit quiet and didn't know how to verbalize a lot of what was going on inside of me, and I used poetry to get that out.
To get it out. And did you carry like a little book that you wrote in, or did you write on different little pieces of paper?
I kind of wrote on anything that I had around whenever something came to me. I had notebooks, but sometimes I'd be at a random place and it'd be on the back of a paper menu or just anywhere.
Now, did the poetry just seem to just flow, or did you have to work on it a little bit?
It really just flowed. It's very elementary poetry for the most part, and it came pretty easily. I never felt like it was forced.
Okay, all right. And do you remember how young you were the first time you started writing?
The first poem that I can remember writing was about fourth grade.
Okay. All right.
So about
good. Now, do you remember what it was? I'm not going to ask you to tell me what it was about, but do you remember what it was about, or you just remember writing it?
No, I do remember what it was about. It was kind of dark for a fourth grader. It was about the end of the world, so.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know what was going on about that time, but it was probably something that you read across at the time for this. Now, tell my listeners a little bit about your book.
Well, it follows kind of in the mind of the main character, Nia, and whenever you meet her in the book, she is obviously something has happened to her. She's not talking. She's kind of closed in on herself. And as you read the book, you discover you have flashbacks to see what her life was before this event, and then you end up discovering what it was that happened to her to kind of push her into this depression. And you also see her family and friends kind of rally around her to help pull her out.
Okay. All right. Now, is this somebody, is this based on somebody you know, or is it just a character you came out with, or what?
No, it's actually, it was kind of a personal journey writing this book. I've had my own struggles with depression and over the years, and suicidal thoughts. And I recently, over the summer, was finally decided to get some help for that and maybe give something an actual try. And once I was a little bit more clear-headed, I started thinking about it differently, and that if I had ever made a decision like that, what would I have done to the people left here? Because in my head at the time, I'd always thought I would leave them better. And so I really wanted to get in the head of somebody that lost somebody that way and try to connect with the other side instead of just the side of a person that's struggling with, you know, what makes us think about ending our lives.
That, you know, that's very interesting, because I was reading an article this past week from the son of a woman who actually committed suicide. And he talked about this thing called depression, and that people don't really understand what's going on inside. So the idea of suicide and, you know, why a person would do that. But I'm glad to hear that you did decide to go get help, because, and writing this book was therapeutic for you?
Yes, very, very therapeutic.
And, yes, and looking in the area of what would happen, you know, the mind of, and I've suffered from depression too, so the mind of, you're more thinking about getting rid of the pain initially and being able to come out from this feeling that you have is what goes on in, let me say, our mind. Do you agree with that? Or?
Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah. So it's more about getting out of the pain. So I want to commend you for getting help and also using this story as a way of understanding how family and friends and may feel and moving forward with this. Now, let's see. I had to ask you a question, and you gave me the answer to, so I'm going to ask you it here. If you had a book club, what would it be reading and why?
Yes, so I know whenever I spoke with you about this before, I talked about my first book club I ever joined, and I loved it. There was women from all age ranges there, and we didn't choose, you know, women's lit or historical fiction or anything like that. We did not pigeonhole the group. It was everybody came, I heard about this, let's read it. And it really expanded my horizons as a reader. And I just learned so much with all the different people from different backgrounds and different ages and reading kind of what they connected to and not having it just one kind of genre. So that's what I would do. I don't know exactly which book I would choose, but
okay.
I wouldn't want it to be one.
Well, yeah, and I like that, the idea that so many book clubs are out there and they only read fiction, or they only read romance novels, or they only read, you know, religious books or whatever. They do kind of fit themselves in a genre. And, you know, most people will belong to one book club. I don't know many people that belong to two or three because, you know, sometimes it's hard to read just that one book, right, for book club. So I like that idea of choosing different genre in order to do that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the autobiography of Malcolm X, you said, is one of the books that influenced you. How did that do that?
Well, it was a book that I read as my early adult years, and I felt like I went on a journey with him. He changed so much over the time period that book was written, and he kind of had his own spiritual journey as well as looking into himself and how he saw other people. And it was one of those books that I always try to suggest to people because I think that growing up white and in America, there is certain things that even if we don't come from families that breed hate or anything, there's certain things that just we kind of get racially. And I felt like as I read this, like I was able to, through his words, look into myself and say, you know, I went into it thinking I don't have any of those feelings. I don't have any different, you know, feelings about anybody. But then I was able to look inside and see that there are things that are kind of there that our society kind of breeds into you. And I really felt like I was able to flush some of that out, see that in myself, understand that it was there and, you know, get it out of me. And then it ended up leading to just such a love for that time period that's why I ended up majoring history and political science. And I mainly focused my classes around the civil rights movement and that, you know, Vietnam War, that time in history, and then minority politics on the political side.
Okay. So are you working in this area now, or are you doing something else?
I am not. I work in the oil and gas field. I majored for what I loved more than for what I could use it to do with my life. So,
yes, you know, a lot of people do that and then they go into politics. Well, you know, I really want to commend you for that. And I didn't mention this earlier, audience. The way I know Lena is through her aunt. Her aunt and I worked together at HP for many years and we're still very close. And I kind of understand where you're coming from, Lena, that, you know, talking with Laurie is because you're born in the South, right? And you're
right.
From the South. Your family, whole family is from the South. And when I read that this is the autobiography that you had read and had an impact on your life and that you actually give it away, told me a lot about you there and the things that have impacted you over your lifetime doing that. Now, let's see. Have you ever experienced writer's block?
Yes. I actually have what I like to refer to as my graveyard of unfinished novels on my computer. And I just, where all of a sudden the story leaves me, and a lot of times I don't pick it back up. And so I have a lot of partially finished work when writer's block has hit.
Well, here's a question for you as you say this. Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about just making them into short stories?
I have. I've even... now that I actually, you know, finished this last novel, got it published, have been going through this entire process, I've thought about going back and relooking at some of those, seeing if they were something that at this point I, you know, connected to again and could finish. And if not, making possibly some short novellas out of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that just popped into my head as I was thinking about that. Because, you know you're not the only writer that has novels started
books started, papers started, and they haven't finished them yet. It's do you ever feel as though you've got all this stuff in your head and you don't have enough time to put it all down on paper?
Absolutely. I know I'm not lucky enough where writing can be my full-time job. So with so much of my time spent work and commuting and just life, it's hard with everything that I have going on in there trying to get it all on paper.
Mm-hmm. When you talked about not having a book and writing on a piece of paper, I've written on backs of envelopes, you know, in an airplane, got an idea just by looking at the clouds, and it was like, what am I going to write on? And I dug in my purse to find an envelope and wrote on the back of it. And it was just a short little piece. It was like, well, maybe one day I can use this inside something. It was a description of the clouds as the plane was flying in and out of them. But we do have, as writers, we do have this tendency to write these short little pieces a lot of times that just pop into our heads, and that's really great. Let's see. What's something that you would like the radio audience to know about you?
Oh, wow. I'm going to go with something not really related to the book or anything, but my love for animals. I really, really love animals. I like to support charities that help animals, and I would like people to, if they're buying animals, to try to go to a shelter and rescue one and just always be kind to animals. I think it tells a lot about a person, how they treat them.
Okay. Well, good. How many animals do you have?
I have two dogs
okay.
and two cats, and then I currently have a new foster kitten. So.
Okay, so foster kitten means that you keep them for a while, and then what do you do with them?
Hopefully find them a forever home. The last one I had got a home quickly. This one, he's not getting as much interest, but...
Okay. Well, good. Good. I am not an animal person, but whenever I go to someone's home, they always come around me. They're around my legs. The cats want to get up in my lap. I mean, it's like they just want to love me. And I go, no, I'm not that person. You know, but I do understand that, you know, animals have personalities and they can sense my energy. You know, they can sense that, no, it's not that she doesn't love us. She just doesn't do animals, but we're going to make you love me, right?
No, absolutely. I actually think that animals, one of my cats, she doesn't go near anybody. My mother-in-law doesn't like cats. And when she comes, that cat will not leave her alone, even though usually the cat won't go through near anybody. So... Mm-hmm. I think they sense it.
Yeah, they sense it. And they just say, I want you to love me. And I look at them and say, yeah, I love you. You know, but go on the other side of the room.
Yes.
All right. So you've got one book in the hopper and out there for the world to see. What's your plans for the future on books?
I'm currently working on a follow-up. I'm going to do a prequel to the book because I found that a lot of my feedback was very negative about Ian. He's the main male in the book. And I just didn't want him to come across that way. I wanted people to understand what he was struggling with and not just be so angry at him for what he left behind. And so I've decided to write a prequel to kind of see him prior to where the story begins in the current book. And get more into his head.
Okay. So when you're dealing with your characters and they're giving them their personalities, what is your inspiration?
Oh, I mean, I pull a little bit from people I know, from myself, I guess, whenever, you know, maybe quirks or things like that. But a lot of it is just that anything that I've ever written, it comes in my head, and I feel like I'm watching it on a movie screen, and that's exactly how this book was. I couldn't get the scene out of my head. I kept seeing Nia there, staring out that window. It's the opening scene, and I finally decided I had to write it down, and I had to see where it went, and the characters, they were just there. It was in my mind, and they came to me and showed me their personalities, is what I feel, more than I found their personalities to give to them.
Okay. So it just kind of, the idea of Christine and the people in her life just were natural. They came naturally to you.
They did. I mean, I had some, I didn't want her parents in the book. I have reasons for that. And so I kind of went in with this story in my head, you know, and directed it. I knew that I didn't want parents there. I didn't want that. But these friends just kind of developed in the story and to who they were.
Now, you said you used actors and actresses to visualize.
Yes, I did do that.
Okay. Any special ones?
I will say that Nia, Kristen Ritter, I don't know if you know who she is.
I'm not familiar with her. No.
She's doing Jessica Jones right now. I think it's a Netflix series.
Okay.
And she's been in some other small parts. She was kind of my visual inspiration for Nia. And for Sam, actually, it was Charlie Hunnan. I don't know if you know who he is, but he was an actor on Sons of Anarchy, and he kind of inspired Sam. And I had different people. Blake was Blake Griffin, the basketball player, is who I saw him as, and just different. They're not all coming to me right now, but I made myself a little picture gallery of to look back at when I was describing them.
Very good. I like that idea, pulling from actors and actresses and stuff. All right. So if you can invite three people, living or deceased, to dinner, who would you invite and why?
Well, first, we've already spoken about Malcolm X. I would just love to talk to him. There was so much, his life, his story was, you know, just so important to my life, who I am, how I view myself, and I would love the opportunity to be able to talk to him more and candidly, and I just think that he's definitely somebody that I would have there. This next person would be my Grandma Holloway. It's my dad's mother, and I miss her. We always gossip together, things like that, and there are things that have happened in my life that I can just picture her reaction to, or her laugh and her smile, and I would love the opportunity to see that again.
About your granny, and dealing with that with her, and helping your mother understand more about the interaction between them, and that they weren't really at odds with each other. I'm going a little short because we're running out of time.
Okay.
And I want everyone to know that, you know, as I said, you can go to my website, or you can go to Lina, Lina Holloway, Holloway, books.com, and find out more about Lina and her works, and be able to get in touch with her and have conversation with her. Lina, I thank you so much for spending, I know time goes so quick here. So I want to thank you for being here today, and we will be in touch soon.
Okay, well, thank you for
Take
having
care.
Me, Beverly. You too.
All right.
Hello, everyone. Welcome.
I think I turned on the wrong one, didn't I?
Yeah.
Hold on. Anyway.
I am an author, teacher, speaker.
So I, instead of turning on the one to say goodbye, I turned on one to say hello. So let's go with the one to say goodbye, guys.
Well, thank you for being here today. If you have any suggestions for the show or you know someone that I should interview, please contact me by emailing Beverly at commandingyourlife.com. That's Beverly at commandingyourlife.com. I'm also available via phone or online to assist you in making your life better. Don't forget, I have a free twice-monthly Commanding Your Life teleconference where you can ask questions and get answers. For more information on the teleconference, go to meetup, M-E-E-T-U-P, .commandingyourlife.com. And to receive a free Silver Ultramind ESP mini course valued at over $100, go to silverfox.silvercourses.com. That's silverfox.silva, S-I-L-V-A, courses.com. Click on the newsletter link on the left-hand side of the page and follow the directions. Join me on the next episode of Commanding Your Life. Matthew 9:29 says, "As you have believed, let it be done to you." And it is so.